Okay. Are there sheets out? Okay, so this is a little bit more of a lumdisha sugya, but it's very fascinating sugya in halacha lemaisa also. It's probably in the halacha lemaisa of it is we'll see how it plays out. But basically, the sort of the shaila gets into the real core, which is what we're going to do next man. We're going to mamash touch on very, very, very fascinating stuff.
Sure.
And stuff that's very, very negel lemaisa and groma and garmi and everything like that. But today, what we're going to talk about is what's called the sugya of hezek she'ena nikar. What's a sugya of hezek she'ena nikar? So hezek she'ena nikar is a concept where you damage someone's stuff, you make it less valuable, but the way you did that was in a way that's not noticeable to the naked eye. So first let's learn the Mishnah, and then we'll discuss what's the parameters, what's the lumdus of it. So the Mishnah is in Gittin and Beis Amid Beis. Hamitame, someone that made someone's, let's say he's a kohen, for argument's sake, he's a kohen, and he had truma. And he had truma. And I remember in the early days, when we were in Newland Gardens, we mamash only had one kohen. And he would get every Shabbos, Shachris, Mincha. So he's like, look, you know, it's fine, I'm getting all the aliyahs, but just make sure you remember about me when we get Trumas and Maisus again. So he has Truma, this guy, and now you were Matame, so it's not valuable, it's not worth anything. So Matame, Vamidameya, Midameya is you take someone's chulin and you threw Truma inside, so now you can't really eat it. Vaminasech. Menasech means that you made his wine into Yain Nesech. So it's Asr Ba'anah. B'shoigig, if you did it by accident, Potter. B'mezid, Chayiv. If you did it on purpose, you're Chayiv. So now, the first thing that should jump out at you is that we spent the entire Zman, from Pesach till now, I think it's 15 Shi'urim, it's about 14 Shi'urim, and I don't expect you to remember everything, but at least four words you should remember, or three. Adam Muad La'olam. At least if you could walk out of this man with those three words, that would be Adam Muad La'olam. You're chayiv even on shoigig. If you're mazik someone, you're chayiv even by accident. It's not like a carbon chil Shabbos shoigig. You mazik someone b'shoigig, you're chayiv. All of a sudden, the last week in this man, we come in over here. B'mezid chayiv b'shoigig potter. Why in the world would you be potter b'shoigig? You were mazik the guy. You took his truma, it's worthless now. You took his yayin, it's an expensive bottle of wine. He's been saving it up for whatever, for till his son's vart. And now it's gone, he can't use it. So like what's going on? Why is there a distinction all of a sudden here between shogig and mazik? So let's see the Gemara, Itmar. So the Gemara starts off a question. What exactly is menasech? Is menasech mean you actually took the wine and served avodah zarah with it, or does it mean you put in different avodah zarah wine in it and you made it memela yayin nesach? Okay, it's machlokes Rav and Shmuel, but let's get down to the next page where we talk about the actual case. And the Gemara here discusses it beferish. What's going on? The Gemara says. Amar Chizkia. It's basically smack in the middle of the page. If you see there's a Tosfos that says Mishum, so it's right under that Tosfos in the middle of the page. Okay? Amar Chizkia. Chizkia says, Dvar Torah, Mina Torah, Echad Shogig V'Echad Mezid Chayiv. My time, Hezek She'ena Nikar, Shmei Hezek. You damaged the guy. I don't care that you can't. It's spiritual damage or whatever. You damaged the value of his stuff, and it's Ena Nikar, but you have to pay. And Mina Torah, you would have to pay. So the question we ask, why all of a sudden here is Shogig Potter? Unbelievable svara. Because otherwise you'll never tell him. He has no idea that I made his stuff tameh. Now I'm going to go and tell him that I made his stuff tameh and he's going to make me pay? I would rather not tell him. Look, I made a mistake. I botched up. I had your stuff. But I don't want to pay. So I'm not going to tell him. So Chazal went ahead and pottered him. Chazal went and pottered him if from paying if he did it b'shogeg. So this way he would let the guy know about his mistake. For the Gemara, Yochi afilu mezid nami. So mezid also. We don't want you. We should want to save you from paying. The Gemara says lazuke kamachav in adule moidule. The guy in mezid is trying to do it on purpose to be mazik the guy. If you're going to do it on purpose to be mazik him, you're going to tell him. Otherwise, what's the point of doing it? Right, the point of doing it is not to make him lose his olam haba, because anyway he's going to be an oynes if he loses his olam. If he drinks yayin nesach, he didn't even know it was yayin nesach, so he didn't ruin his olam haba either. So what'd you do to him? Nothing. So I'm going to get this guy, go ahead, make his yayin nesach, put it back in the fridge and not tell him. So you didn't do anything to him. Obviously, if you're doing it b'mezid, then you're going to want to tell him. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, and this is how we paskin. So let's pay attention to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Omar. Dvar Torah echad shoygig v'echad mezid potter. My time a hezek she'en a nikar loish me hezek. Really, you're potter minat Torah. That's why there's a distinction between shoygig and mezid. Really, minat Torah, you're potter on this hezek. But the Gemara, the Chazal didn't want that everyone should go ahead and start making people stuff tameh and yai nesach. So they made you chayiv midrabanan. But that's only b'mezid, not b'shoygig. But really, it's the opposite. You're really potter minat Torah. So let's think about the logic here. This is how we paskin. Hezek she'en a nikar loish me hezek. So before today, if I would have asked you, you would say, what's the difference? I think most people would think, you damaged the guy. He had food, it was perfectly good food, and now he cannot serve it to anybody. So you're mazik the guy. Let's take it a step further. What happens if you poisoned it? Would it be the same halacha? Right? Is that also Isaac Shana Nicker? What? We're talking about intent, but what? Okay, but it's not nicker in the thing itself. So here's the idea. The idea basically, and we're going to see there's a machlokes between the Ramban and Tosfos. But let me ask you, let me just get another another case Shlomo Zalman talks about. Let's say you have a cholent going, or let's go the other way. You have some milchik dish going, and you throw a piece of whatever. You have a cholent going, and you throw a slice of cheese into the guy's cholent. And then you take it out. But in the meanwhile, the tom went in. Or, even better yet, I'm going to get this guy. You know, so he has a little bit of a chong going, and you took a milk spoon, ben yoimai, and you measured it, and it's less than shishim, and you mix it up, and that's it. I mixed up the spoon. I trafed up his spoon, and, but the trafing up the spoon, you could kasher. But I now trafed up the chalan.
Too late.
Well, okay, very. There's a lot of big problems with it, but I wonder if you have to pay. In Eil Mazeh, we're talking right now. So, do you have to pay?
It's
Hezek Shenaniker. Rosh Shlomo Zalman has a case. The guy, you give a guy a klaf, and to write a mezuzah for you, and he wrote the mezuzah Shaloy Lishma. He wrote the Shemus Shaloy Lishma. Looks like a pretty decent mezuzah, but you can't use it. Is he mazik the klaf? He's not mazik the klaf. All these types of things, right? So at what point do you say, is it hezek she'en, right? What's the logic over here? So there's two ways to understand this. Rabbi Chana breaks it down, and there's two svaras in how to understand what's the svara of hezek she'en and nikar. The fundamental principle we have to understand is, and this is going to be mamish fundamental for next month. This is why I figured we'll throw it in first week, the last week of this month. It will simmer over in the next 4 weeks. I'm sure you're going to be thinking about it as you're, you know, whatever you're doing. But we'll come back and we'll just go over it. But the yisoid is that you're not necessarily chayiv in Dinei Torah, in this parasha of Nizikin, for causing someone a loss. It's not about causing someone a loss. You have to cause someone a loss through damage, through hezek. So for example, let's say I heard you telling someone that, you know, there was a store in Kelm that in Kelm no one touched anything that wasn't theirs, and everyone, and one of the Bachar was saying how, or whatever, one of the people was saying how great Kelm was, that I left my galoshes, you know, in a certain spot. 10 years later, I come back and they're exactly in the same spot that they were then, right? So I left my umbrella sitting there and no one touched it. Here, it's not because we're killing you, because no one cleans up after themselves. But the point is, right, you can leave a mess and it'll stay that way. But the right? So you hear me making a bet with someone. I said, you could leave your umbrella right there in that spot. You come back 3 weeks later, and it's going to be there. If it's not, I'll give you $100. So I hear this conversation. Now, to spite the guy, I go ahead and move the umbrella. Right? So now the guy has to pay $100. So am I chayef to pay him that? Because I was mafsid him $100. If I did not do that, he would not have had to pay. Do I have to pay him $100? No, because there was no hezek. There was no damage. Yeah, I made a guy pay. I made a guy lose money. But making a guy lose money is not our parsha of nezikin. Nezikin means there's damage to his what he owns. He owns something, and I break it. I damage it. There's a shinui. There's something called hezek. There's damage. And damage is what you pay for. Or gzela is what you pay for. There's different parshias in the Torah. But if I just heard him talking and I made him lose $100 because I moved the umbrella, I don't have to pay him for that. There's no hefset. We'll see, maybe garmi, maybe something else. But there's no hezek. There's no hezek on that. So the shaila of hezek shein and nikar, you could say in one of two ways. One way is the Ramban's way, which is if there's no shinui, if there's no change to the item, it's not called damage. If there's no visible change to the item, or there's no concrete change to the item, then it's not called damage. Now, that means I added a spiritual problem to the item. It's still edible, just people aren't going to want to eat it because people are not going to want to eat it because it's treif. But it's still edible. It's tame, but it's edible. It's yai nesach, but it's edible. So nothing changed about it. What changed about it is only the halachic status. So that's not called that there was a change in the item. Okay? And therefore, since there's no change, it's not called hezek. Since it's not called hezek, I don't have to pay. That's the concept according to the Ramban. There has to be a visible change to the item. Now, even according to the Ramban, okay, that's number one. According to Tosfos, is a little different. It's not so much about the item, it's about your maisa. Same idea. You're only chayiv if you do a maisa hezek. A maisa hezek means that you interacted with the item in a certain way that was coming to damage it. But if you did something that basically was heebie-jeebie, you know, let's say you didn't do something to the item which was considered a maisa of damaging the item or anything like that, so therefore, you're potter. It has to be something which is nicker as a maisa of damaging the item. That's how Tosfos learns. How do I know Tosfos learns like that? Because look, if you turn to the next page, there's a Tosfos in Baba Basra. The Tosfos talks about like this. Tosfos wants to know what happens if you have a wheat field and I have a grape field, a grape vineyard, and I allow my vineyard to go ahead and grow into your grains, and it's going to make your wheat climb. So your chai, your potter, Tosfos says, what happened to hezek shein anikar? It's kilayim. Kilayim is ain't a nicker. So look at the Tosfos. Tosfos says, the second Tosfos on Beis Amud Beis in Baba Basra. Tosfos says, if I gave the hezek shein anikar lo yishmei hezek, even though normally we would say it's not called hezek, nearly read the high chosh of hezek. No, putting my vineyard on top of your grain is called nicker. Shai nicker shu kilayim. It's obvious that I'm coming to make lime. So Tosfos is saying, as long as you did something which is clearly going to be mazikim, you're chayiv, even if the hezek itself is spiritual. And therefore Tosfos says it's tevaiter. Alva bisharoyin hasheretz ala taharis lechoshev hezek nikar demi yodeim hukshiru. Tosfos says, what happens if you take a dead sheretz, a tamei animal, a tamei rodent, and you end up put it on his food? Right? So why isn't that nicker? So it's not nicker because maybe the food is not mekabel tuma, because in order to mekabel tuma, it has to have gotten wet at one point. So maybe it's not roi to mekabel tuma. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, you see from Tosfos, let's say you take the sheretz and put it onto a bottle of beer, which is wet already. It's liquid. Then you would be chayiv, even though according to the Ramban, you'd be potter, because tuma is not a visible change in the item. But according to Tosfos, you're chayiv, because the action you did was a maisa of hezek. You bowed to it. Maybe you had a mindless shemaim, I don't know. It's not clear exactly what happened.
I was not talking the case where I poured a little yain into the other
wine. Oh, so you don't know exactly what you poured in? I don't know exactly. But Tosfos is learning, it has to do with the maisa hezek. The Ramban has to do, it has to do with the item. Is that called that the item got nizek?
Is that the maisa would be considered
What?
Inaction.
Like what? Like
you're supposed to deliver
a skillet food. So, depends what happened. According to Tosfos, you're saying it's always going to be Hezek Shein Hanukkah because I didn't really do anything.
You're supposed to uncover it in order for you to come right. You keep it covered.
L'chaira, not doing something can't be called Hezek. Nechanami. Now, you're right. I mean, I got a delivery. I was supposed to put it in the freezer. L'chaira, it could be I'm a shomer. And if I'm a shomer, I'm chayv if I'm pesheya. If I was negligent. So maybe if I was negligent, I'm a shomer, I'm chayev, something like that. Now, let's take Rav Shlomo Zalman's case. So Rav Shlomo Zalman wants to say that, like this, I shechted someone's animal and I made it not a kosher shechita. So, l'chaira, according to Tosfos, you shechted it wrong, so you're chayiv. According to the Ramban, you're potter because it's not noticeable that it's shechted improperly. However, he says if you shechted it in the wrong place, then even according to the Ramban, you'd be chayiv because it's noticeable that it's not shechted in the right place. Maybe, but the animal itself. But in general speaking, generally. If you would put a piece of meat in a pot that's cooking milchiks and take it out, according to the Ramban, you're definitely potter. According to Tosfos, maybe you're chayif. Because it's clear. What?
Why is the Ramban here with you potter?
Because not noticeable. The taste?
Yeah.
Oh, cause so let's say he says, Ladidan, that we don't hold the kfela. So you don't even have a chance to taste it. You have to throw it out without tasting it. So that alone, that it was shishim, was asked it.
But it's only we only asked shishim because we said.
Okay, but the mice, it's not going to be nikkur to us. Even without being nikkur, it's going to be asr. And he says, what happens in the case of the spoon? Maybe even according to Tosfos, your potter, because it's not noticeable. The spoon could be par, the spoon could be this. It's not noticeable clearly what it is. Yeah, but it's not noticeable that the pool would ask. It's like putting the sherets on something which is not mukhshar. Right, we don't know if it's muksha or not, so it's not noticeable from the maysa that there's tumah there. So putting a spoon in,
unless it was clear, that's a experiment.
Yeah, something like that. Like if it's a pizza knife or something, like it's only used for dairy. So I don't know, but I, you know, maybe that would be a machlekes. Now I wanna go one step further. So there's a lot of interesting cases on this, right? You made someone stuff treif. You you passled his. You didn't have the kavana for when you sold it. You know, different things. When it comes to like food and yai nesach, all these types of things. But I want to be mocked at one other thing. We asked the question: what about if you made something poisonous? You added you put it in a room with gas. I don't know. You made it poisonous in a way that's hezek shein hanukkah. Do you have to pay for that? So all the places can say yes, you have to pay. The question is, it's not noticeable. Why do you have to pay? So the answer is like this. Over there, you made the item inedible, be'etzem, because food that, just like food is spoiled, you can't eat it. Food that's poisonous cannot be eaten, period. So making something inedible, even if it's ain't a nicker, is called nicker, because you took away its primary use. Taking away something's primary use is also called hezek nicker. Just because every item has two parts to it. There's like kinyan guf and kinyan peiros. There's always two parts to an item. There's the physical part of it. Let's say you have a car. So let's say you have an electric car. So there's the car itself. So you bang up the windows, you bang up the thing. Okay, that's hezek nicker. What happens if you made the battery not be able to recharge? It can't be driven. It's called nicker because the point of the car is not the metal and the glass and the windshield. The point of the car is to drive. And therefore, if you can't be driven, you made it not drivable, even if it's in a way, digitally, whatever, you made the car not drivable, then that's all called hezek nicker because the main primary use of it is being damaged. No. So a spiritual problem with a food does not make it not edible. It just takes away the value. But it doesn't make it not edible. Be'etzim, it's edible. Physically, it's edible. It has the shimush. Just it doesn't have the value. But if something's actually not edible, physically not edible because it's poisonous, then it's considered you took away its shimush, and if you took away its shimush, you have to pay for that. Okay, so there's two ways to damage someone's item. The use. Shimush means the use. So there's two ways to damage someone's item. Either you physically damage the material, you smashed in the car, smashed in the window, or you took away the ability of the item to be used the way it's meant to be used. But if it's able to be used the way it's, if it's able to be physically used, and everything about it is still there, the problem is you took away the value of it. Why'd you take away the value? Because you made it not kosher, and this is kedem wine, and no one in their right mind is going to drink that unless they're making kiddush on it. So now, therefore, the only reason you're going to drink it is kiddush, and now you left it out overnight, or it's not mevushal, and now you brought the guy and said, hey, have a good time, put your finger in the bottle. And now you made the guy's stuff not usable for kiddush, right? Doesn't matter, because it's still drinkable. It's drinkable. It's just not used for what you want to use it for, and therefore it has no value. All it's not considered a hezek. It's just considered taking away the value. And since it's just considered taking away the value, then you're potter if you did it b'shoigig. If you did it b'mezid, then Chazal cancelled you. They made a fine on you. Okay.
Usable by human beings.
So it's not subjective.
Right. If something's poisonous, it's not considered potable. It's not. It lost the ability to be. It's not edible anymore.
But
chafing something up is not considered taking away the shimush of it. So it's not considered hezek either on the shimush or the guf. It's just considered hezek on the value, and hezek on the value with no hezek on the guf or the shimush is not considered hezek. Okay.
It's a very simple test. This one the guy can eat. This one the guy can't eat.
Right.
If it becomes unusable to the owner.
No, but that if it's not in a noticeable way, it's just because, you know, a spiritual problem, you know. So they talk about, let's say you go to sleep on top of someone's stuff, food. So now you know you're not supposed to eat something which someone slept on. So I was mazik his thing. So chayra, that's mamash hezek shein a nicker. Right now, there's a tshuva from Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld that says, since it's hezek shein a nicker and you don't have to pay for it, so it's called enad oisid davar shein a shaloi, and mistam of the rochra doesn't come either. So that's what he wants. That's what he wants to say. But anyway, the point is that now, based on this, I think I can start to understand Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman has an interesting psak, and I'm trying to figure out the psak. I didn't fully understand it. But based on what I'm saying now, maybe we could understand it. He says, what if you gave a sofer a klaf to write a mezuzah for you, and he wrote it shaloi lishma? He made it that he wrote it not lishma. He says, according to all the shitas, you're chayiv. The sofer has to pay. The question is, why does he have to pay?
It's only purposes.
So I think that's the pshat. I think the pshat is, over here, the purpose of it is the mezuzah. And if it can't be used for mezuzah, you took away the shimush of it. So that's the same thing as making it.
It's like the paper. What do you mean? The cloth had a value, and now I can't use it as a cloth anymore because you wrote on it.
It's not nicker.
Well, you can.
No, so he's saying, maybe that's a pshat. He's saying it's nicker because the writing on it is nicker, and it's not a mezuzah. So the hezek was that he took away my ability to make a different mezuzah.
I had a cloth that was worth $100, and now it's worth nothing because he wrote on it. If he would have made a picture of a smiley face, it would be the same value. He was mazik my cloth.
Is that true? I'm sure I could go to a lot of people with a mezuzah and tell them, here's a mezuzah. Would you like to buy it?
It's not really a mezuzah.
You can.
I'm saying they don't know that it's not meaning.
No, but it's possible. What do you mean?
Person doesn't know if food's poisonous.
I'm saying,
it could be that something which its whole use is the mitzvah.
Why do you say that? It's no worse. Why is it different than a smiley face? Why is it not a good thing? Like, question.
What happens if. You lock up someone's esrog and you give it back to them after Sukkos.
Is it
har shachal fanecha, or is it not shachal anymore? Because
if you give it back, if I take your chametz and I give it back, give it to Pesach.
Yeah, but what if you take my wheat? Okay, so something which is all. My only question is: this is all very good on regular things, like you have food, or something which its whole use is only the mitzvah, and it can no longer be used for the mitzvah. Maybe that's different. There's a few rise in the poiskim that we possibly could treat that differently because it's you're attacking the actual use of the item.
I don't understand how this is different from the yayin nesek.
Because the yayin nesek, the yayin is made to drink. And therefore, it's still drinkable. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? It doesn't have the same value because you limited the market because some people that don't want yain nesek, but it's betzim drinkable. So that's not called taking away the use of the item.
People just sit around drinking wine back then, or was it used for?
Yeah, people sat around drinking wine back then, and now and back then and now too. I think that's the main point over there. Okay, now. Yes, it's a very interesting knach to explain this point that there's a distinction, I think, between what the thing is made for, but primarily the point we're trying to say is that if it's not noticeable, it's only a spiritual damage to the item, you don't have to pay. Now, there's a very big shaila in halacha. We paskin hezek sheino nikar, not noticeable hezek, ain't a hezek, it's not called hezek. And they're chayv only b'mezid on purpose because it's a knas. Knas means it's a fine. We don't want you to go ahead. We don't want people to go ahead and do this. But Chazal understood in general that when something's a knas, you can't necessarily apply it to other cases other than that which Chazal already applied it to. So how do we paskin? Do we paskin it's only if you made it yai nesech, tameh, and medamea? What about any other type of hezek sheino nikar? Baser b'chalav. All these other cases we're talking about. What about that? Are you going to be chayef for that or pater for that? Or is it only the cases that Chazal said, or is it any case? So you look at the back page. So in Shulchan Aruch, the next siman we're up to is Shin Pei. Hey, well, it's machalik shach today. Zim. So hamazik is chaveroi. Some of the damages his friend hezek sheino nikar. Kigoin, what's hezek sheino nikar? Irev yain nesach b'yeinu minatoyer ahu potter. Minatoyer potter. Aval chachamim kantsuhu l'shalom nezek shalim. Mehayofesh ben chasa. You have to pay full damage. Kedin kol hamazikim. Just like any other mazik. Lefikach im. Oh, what do I care if it's a knas if you have to pay? Very interesting. What happens if the guy did this and then died? Is his estate obligated to pay for that damage? So every other type of damage creates a lien on his property. And even if he dies, so the estate now is obligated to pay that obligation. But if it's a knas, it's a fine, meaning it's something he did wrong personally, so his estate is not obligated to pay. That's a big nafkamina if it's a knas or not a knas. So Zokta Shulchan Aruch Lafika, since we're passing it's a knas, his estate does not have to pay. So back to our question. Why all of a sudden here, the last week of this man, after you already know by heart, Adam Wad Lailam, all of a sudden now there's a difference between Shoigig and Mazid? No, the answer is because over here it's not really Chayiv. It's not considered damage. It's just a Knas. The Knas is only if you did it by Mazid. Okay? But you have a question. If it's a Knas, how do we know if you have to? How do we know if it's only the things which are mentioned in the Gemara? So this whole long shach in Sifkatan Aleph deals with that issue, but the end of that shach is here. He says. The last line of the Shach, he says, "Disfilei d'achdar umlil knasu umi knasa yalfinan." We have the right to learn from a knas to similar cases. V'chein muchach dasa poiskim shevesi l'kaman shem peivav desover dinan d'gmi knasu umi knasa yalfinan. So according to the Shach, even though it's a knas, you could learn out to similar cases, and that would probably be the halacha. So any case of hezek sheino nikar, if you did it b'mezid, you would have to pay. So if you did trafen up the person's thing, and the reason you did it is to spite him and get back at him, then you would have to pay for that damage. Because
Tosus and Ramban?
No. B'mezid. It's Hezek Sheino Nikar. So you're right. It's Hezek Sheino Nikar. So B'shoigig you'll be Potter. According to Tosus and Ramban, maybe. And Me'ikar Adin. But there's a Knas. A Knas, you pay if you did B'mezid. So at the end of the day, everything we discussed, let me just clarify. Everything we discussed, that these types of damaging yain nesach, you can't use it for kiddush, all this stuff, that's on the deraisa level to explain why it's not considered real damage. And therefore you don't have to pay if you did it by accident. right? You borrowed this guy's wine, chosh of a bottle, and then by accident you left it out, or whatever, by accident you gave it to the waiter, and the waiter poured it for you, and now you're mazik the whole thing. Okay, so it's by accident, you're potter, even though always mazikim you're chai by accident. But b'mezid, you're still chayiv, because that's a knas, and we learn out from that knas.
Why isn't
that
at least a grumble like your delay where you mamish for mazik even if it wasn't?
Okay, so this, the Ramban has a, depends on what type of print. The print that I was using, it's probably a 25-page kuntras called Dina de Garmi, and the very first question in the kuntras is that question. Maishna, that every hezek shein a nikar is not at least a grumble. So that's why I was being mocked him, because even a grumble, we don't pay for hefsid. We don't just pay because I made you lose money. You have to pay for damage, and therefore it has to stim in the category of damage. Okay? Now, next zman, what we're going to learn about is all sorts of indirect damage, which I think is the most common shayla halachically, because to go ahead and actually have a case of straight-out damage is usually not the case. And even if it is the case, it's not the entire problem. So, for example, every case has in it multiple claims. And usually many, many of the claims are indirect damage. So a person just went and sent his daughter to camp and the camp closed down. Like, that camp that closed down, whatever. So, okay, if they are going to send back the money, they're not going to send back the money. So, okay, they sent back the money. But what about all the, I flew up my daughter to camp. I had to pay for a hotel. Okay, that's all grandma's stuff. That's all indirect, right? And you made me lose my job and a lot of things, most claims, probably legal cases, are going to end up being grama. Because I couldn't move in on time to my house, and I had to pay extra rent over there, and because I had to pay rent over there.
Contracts and leases will deal with that.
What?
Most contract leases will have clauses to say whether or not they'll be responsible for incident or,
Right. But I don't know, but that's already, that's a pasha that you can be mechayiv that, if you have to see how that works. But groma and garmi are the most probably nogea topic. So that's Mr. Shem we're going to get to next man. Is groma and garmi, very, very interesting sugya. Okay, by Shkarech, very good. We went through the simonim. Mr. Shem will go invite the next man into the next part of it.